Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This evening, as we're going to be discussing ways to increase abundance into your life. But first, as you all loyal listeners know, we always start with a short meditation and a crystal of the week and a tarot of the week. So I just thought we could do our standard white light meditation to bring in and usher in this new week. So if everyone could just take a deep breath with me. And if all of us listeners could just imagine that we're in a circle holding hands and we're just sending love and light and healing to each other in this circle. And that the more we send out this light, the more it grows and expands inside of us as well. And I would love it if each of you could picture a beautiful white light right at the top of your head. And just with the intent of your breath, breathe this vibrant, shining ball of white light into your head. Feel its calming sensation as it enters your throat and spills down into your shoulders and your arms and your fingers. Breathe the white light into your heart and really imagine it erasing away for you any residue you may be holding on to of unforgiveness, sadness, or hurt, just allowing the white light to take that away for you. And breathe the white light into your stomach. Metaphysically, this is where we hold on to anxieties about work and relationships and money. So just see the white light gently absorbing any daily anxieties or stressors that are on your mind this Sunday evening or whenever you're listening to this on podcast. And breathe the white light into your hips and your legs. Feel its calming sensation as it spills into your calves and your ankles and your feet, allowing it to flood into each of your 10 toes. And see this white, this beautiful white ball of light just expanding and filling up every inch of your body. And see it shining out from every pore in your body from head to toe so that you yourself are a beacon of white light. With every breath healing yourself and with every exhale helping to heal your part of the world. And if you could take another deep breath and just picture a beautiful crystal bubble of white light surrounding like a perfect dome your home, your car or cars, your place of work or school. And if there's anyone in your life that you're worried about right now, there's anyone in your life who just needs a little bit of extra love and light, picture them and just surround them in a bubble of white light. And just say inside your head, I send you blessings of love and light. I send you blessings of love and light. Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone, for doing that with us each week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to start with the crystal of the week. The crystal I chose for this week is garnet, and you can read more about it on my blog, crystalchick.blogspot.com. Garnet is such an exciting stone for me. It's very commonly found in America and most specifically in the mountains of North Carolina near where Deb and I live. And I remember as a little girl, I actually went to a camp named Camp Cheerio. And
I do.
And the people, it was up by Boone, and the people named it Cheerio because an Englishman helped found it and they'd never heard someone greet them that way before. You know, Cheerio. So it's not named after the cereal. Anyway, and I would go up there. It's been about 2 weeks every summer there. And one of the things that we would do on those two-week summer camp sojourns is we would take a little mountain climb to this one spot that was covered with garnets. And they'd give us a little pickaxe thing, and we would just pick away. And I would come home with one or two buckets of garnets each summer. It was really exciting. I felt like we were, you know, hunting for buried treasure. So I've always held a special place in my heart for garnet because of that reason. It is the birthstone for those born in January, and it is considered a stone of luck, love, and helping you in your career. That's one of the main things that it's for, but it's also a great energizer. It's derived from the Latin word for seed, granatus. That they can plant. The reason why I believe is, well, really it was called the, it was named after the Latin word for seed because garnets resemble pomegranate seeds. But for me, it's named after a seed because what garnet can do is plant a seed of desire in us that will enable us to grow in passion, health, and confidence. It's best for increasing self-confidence in our relationships and career. And what's really cool is historically it's been worn, it dates back to 3100 BC is how late or how early, I should say, it's been discovered. It's said that Noah carried a lantern made from garnet to direct his ark safely through the flooded waters. Garnet is mentioned as one of the 12 gemstones in the breastplate of Aaron, and it was worn by the ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans. Knights wore garnet as a protection against death and bad luck. If you give someone garnet as a gift, it's said to instill commitment and fidelity in the heart of the receiver. And it's such a protective stone that it's said to warn the wearer of impending disaster by becoming suddenly dull or lackluster in appearance. It will help to re-energize the wearer. Deb, what's that disorder that affects people who don't like the lack of light in winter?
It's a seasonal affective disorder.
Thank you. Garnet would be great for people who suffer from seasonal affectiveness disorder. Because it will help to increase your confidence, it's a great stone to have with you at work. If you're going to go on an interview, or if you're going to give a difficult presentation, or if you just want to encourage your confidence at work, keep a large piece of garnet on your desk. It is known to make you more attractive to others. And so that's why it's off, for all those reasons, it's known as a good luck stone in the business world. Because of its lovely dark red color, garnet is also a romance stone and can help to revitalize dull relationships. You want to keep a cluster of garnet on your bedside table or wear a necklace of garnet to bring passion back into your life. Since it will bring the wearer true self-confidence, garnet is known to lessen anger, which is always the mark of an insecure person. Physically, garnets help to normalize blood pressure. They're good for any circulatory disorder. They're said to help with lungs as well. If garnet is set in gold, it's supposed to increase sluggish immune systems. In general, garnet is great for career success, increasing fertility, and protecting you from any negativity. So just some specific things you can do with garnet. Place one under your pillow while you sleep to help cure depression. Place 3 garnet stones on your desk to ensure success. Place 2 garnets or a garnet cluster on your bedside table to ensure fidelity and passion in your current relationship, or if single, to attract the right relationship to you. Wear it to help overcome depression, increase self-confidence, and aid in protection from negativity. You can also place garnet and planters on either side of your front door to protect your home from theft. There is an old folklore that says that if someone steals a garnet from you, bad luck will come upon them. So
wow.
For that reason, it's known as a protection against theft. Yeah.
What a great rock.
It is. It rocks, I tell you.
Who knew all that about garnet? I just love this.
And it's really easy to find, and it's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
Not very, I should say that, but, you know, compared to, like, sugar light or something.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Okay. And moving on to our tarot card of the week. We are, as you all know, working our way through the suit of cups, and tonight's card is the 9 of cups. There are 2 cards in tarot. One is a cup and one is a pentacle, where there is this little man seated in front of a display of either the cups or the pentacles. And this is the little man in front of the cups. And I always think of him as the emotional miser. That's my description of him. He is well-fed. He's well-satisfied. He's got all of his emotional desires lined up behind him. He's got everything he needs. So this card is about emotional success, and by that I mean being comfortable in his own skin, being comfortable with his emotions, being happy, getting his wish fulfilled. If this card appears in a reading for me and is reversed, then the opposite is true. There's some deprivation, potential illness, someone who is overindulgent in food or drink. Sometimes this card reversed for me can signal an addiction, and that whatever this person is wishing for is not going to come to pass.
But if it's right side up, you believe it's the wish fulfillment card?
I do.
Okay.
I do believe that, which, of course, is a perfect card to lead us into our discussion tonight on manifesting.
Yep.
And I want to begin our discussion tonight, Samantha, with a caveat to what we're going to teach tonight.
Okay.
And it's a quote from my grandma. Those of you who are our regular listeners know I quote my grandmother a lot. And she used to say to me, "You be careful what you ask for because you will get it." And I think that's an important caveat and an important starting point for our discussion tonight is to really be very clear about what it is you really want to manifest in your life. Sometimes we think, oh, golly, you know, we'd love to have a bunch of money, or we want a big house or a big boat, or we want to do this, that, and the other. Is that really what you want?
Right.
Are those things really what you're looking for? So just keep that in mind as we talk about some clarity in manifesting. So thanks. I just wanted to say that to start.
No, I think that's really important because I really feel like the key to everything in life, and I know that sounds ready, everybody, here's the answer to life.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, I'm done. I figured it out. No, but really the key to everything is being happy with who you are. Literally, that's it. Warts, cellulite, you know, bouts of anger, like whatever. Just really, it's being happy with who you are and then going and working from there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just manifest money into your life and inside you are fighting a deep self-hatred of who you are, then that money's going to run through your fingers like liquid, like water.
That's right.
So really the key is being happy with who you are and learning to love yourself and then improving from that, because none of us is perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. That's why we're here at this school called Earth. But you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm not perfect, but I love myself. And why? You know, why do you love yourself? And learning to really answer that question. And I think sometimes that can be really hard for people. But it's an important question to answer, to ask.
It is. It's what is it that really brings you happiness? What is it that really brings you joy and enhances who you are intrinsically?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important piece to this puzzle. You know, I remember, and I bet you most of our listeners are familiar with The Secret, you know, that amazing phenomenon that came out just several years ago. And I remember reading the book and watching the movie, I did both, and thinking, golly, this is all about material stuff.
Right.
And I am at an age in my life where I don't want one more piece of material stuff.
Right.
And that isn't what I value. So I guess a piece of this concept of really thinking about what you want to manifest in your life is what's really valuable to you.
Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to say in defense of The Secret, I was listening to an interview with Louise Hay just this morning when I was getting ready, and she was saying that she thinks that the documentary, the movie, whatever, the book, whatever you want to call it, The Secret, does serve some purpose for newbies.
And, oh, I agree.
You know,
she talked
about how in the beginning, you know, she was 50 when she started on her journey.
I know.
And she started by manifesting parking spaces, which we've all heard about.
Right.
And she said, if that's what it takes to get you to believe that our thoughts really do create our reality, then manifest a parking space. You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I don't mean to discount the messages and the lessons and The Secret. I've used some I mean, I'm sitting here right now looking at a check on my refrigerator that I wrote myself that said, I will not have a credit card debt within X number of months from the time I write this check. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it did. So no, I'm not discounting of that, but I just think that there's more.
Exactly.
There's more.
Exactly. And there is so much more. One thing too is we can't succumb to fear in this economy that we're dealing with. I did a blog post recently on increasing your financial abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, I spoke about how the one time, if you take the 20th century, now I'm speaking about America here, I'm not sure about around the world, but if you look at America in the 20th century, the one period of time that created the most millionaires was the Great Depression.
Yes.
Which is just fascinating to think about. Everyone is in that, you know, that poverty mode because of the Great Depression, and yet our country saw the most millionaires come out of that time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Including the Colonel Sanders.
That's right. And absolutely. I'm aware that folks are in dire financial straits. And so certainly the principles that we're going to talk about tonight are indeed applicable to helping people reach some level of financial security. I just invite folks to think, when is enough enough? What does it mean to really have abundance, to have all you need and more.
Right. But I think too, what's at the heart of people who constantly have money struggles is what you and I are trying to talk about tonight, because I know so many people who live with a poverty consciousness.
Yes.
I have a friend, for example. Do you remember when President Bush gave us all a $600 tax rebate?
I do.
His first year of presidency. Okay,
I do remember.
I was really excited. You know, I thought, oh, all right. So I took my family away for the weekend and used that to help fund that weekend trip. And my friend gave all of it to her church. Now, I know my friend has a lot of financial issues. And I said, what the hell are you doing giving all of that to church? Give 10%, give $60. You know, give 10% of it, tithe your 10%. But why are you giving all of it? And she said, well, I didn't do anything to earn it, so I don't feel like it's mine. It belongs to the church.
Wow.
And all these years later, she still has financial difficulties. And wow. I know it's because she's one of the loveliest people I know in my life, but I know it's because she has this poverty consciousness,
uh-huh.
this belief that money is not good, that money is bad, that only, you know, bad people get rich, or you have to do something corrupt to get money.
Oh,
you know,
we don't
all those
it.
Old beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Wow, that's not. Now, isn't that the counterpoint to that? Is I have a really good friend who is very well off. She lives on her dividends from her stock investments, and even in this economy, she's doing just fine. So the mm-hmm. gal has money, and she took that $600 and invested immediately. You know,
mm-hmm.
to make it make more money. I think I bought a washing machine or something. But somebody wrote in the chat room that this boils down to root chakra issues, and that is an excellent point.
Mm, that's a very good point.
It is, absolutely. It's that that's where our relationship to security and safety and money
well, and
is
also
seated.
I am worthy.
Yes.
We are worthy of success. We are worthy of abundance.
Uh-huh.
We Absolutely. Are worthy of the ability to attract into our life what we want. If
yeah.
we weren't worthy, we wouldn't be here.
Yep.
Life is an opportunity. It's a gift.
Right. So how do we do it? How do we attract abundance in our lives? There are many techniques for attracting abundance. Some of them are so simple they sound almost silly. The writing the check thing, it really works. It works for me.
It works for me.
Yeah, me too. And I literally take a check out of my checkbook, and I date it for the date. And I'm really kind of careful about when I do that, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I date it, and I write it out to myself, and I use it's interesting. I do the numerology, of course, and I know the numerology for my name and my full name. my full legal name resonates to an 8. And so, and that is the number of money and financial security. So I write it out to myself with my full name. I sign the check with my full name, and I never put an amount. I never limit the universe. So I don't put an amount. I write in paid in full for abundance across the place where you would write your, you know, the dollar amount. And then I put it on the refrigerator, and because that's the place, of course, I see it every day. And I spend some time every day just saying, I know that this is coming to me now. So I always use affirmations and in the present tense. I write checks for myself if I do this exercise. The one I wrote about no credit card debt, I wrote on the 4th of July. And I particularly chose that day because that's an Independence Day symbol. And I wanted to be independent, you know, so it was written on the 4th of July. When I have done this for other things, more specific like that, I always do them on a new moon because the new moon is about initiating new things in our life. So I do them on the night of the new moon.
When is the next new moon? Do you know offhand?
I can tell you the full moon is on Tuesday. The moon is full this coming Tuesday night, and it is new again on Wednesday the 26th.
Okay, so everybody, Wednesday the 26th would be a good time to write yourself a check.
Specifically now, here in the East at 3:56 p.m.
Okay.
All right,
there you go.
It's
so funny, Deb, because I do the check thing too, and yet, as you and I so often do, we differ in how we do it.
Right, and what do you do?
I just want to share how I do it. I always do mine around the new year. So sometime in the first week of the new year, I write myself a check for how much I want to make that year in my business. And
so you
I do,
put in a dollar amount.
I do put in a dollar amount.
Okay.
And the reason why I do is because I just, first of all, if I put nothing in there, I'm such a literal person, I'm afraid I'd manifest like a blank nothing.
Oh, funny.
I know.
I'll try it your way.
And if I put, like, it's really tricky for me. I mean, I really spend a lot of time thinking about the number. First of all, this isn't for me to manifest money into my life necessarily. This is for me to manifest growth in my career. And so I have so many other responsibilities besides my career with my children. So I don't want to grow too fast. And I don't put a big number because of that. And I also don't want to put a giant number because a part of me will go, yeah, right, Samantha, come on. So usually what I do is I'll add 30 to 50% more than what I made the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always reached that number every time I've done it. And that just feels right to me because I do think if you're manifesting something that's too beyond your ability to comprehend it, you're not going to manifest it. You know, there's a great story that's actually in a textbook that we use when I teach English. It's the English 111 textbook that I use. And it's called Little Steps, and it's written by Michael Jordan, the basketball player. And he talks about how when he was in the eighth grade, his goal, his whole goal in life was to make the Laney High School basketball team.
Right.
And he said if he had ever set the goal of making, becoming an NBA player, he never would have reached that goal because, as those of us who live in North Carolina know, the first year he tried out for the Laney High School team, he
didn't
lost,
make it.
Didn't make it.
That's right.
And if he had set a higher goal, he would have said, I can't be an NBA player. I can't even make a little hometown high school team. So I do think it's important to set reasonable, manageable goals that you can manifest into your life, but they should always be about double what you're doing now.
Right. Okay. I hang my check
in my bathroom mirror because I'm a very private person, and I don't want people coming to my house and looking at my refrigerator going, how much do you make?
Oh, well, you're right. I wouldn't put that on my refrigerator. You're right. I wouldn't do that either. I'd do more private. But the ones that are not specific like I've done, I don't care if people see them because it's great for – it's a teaching tool on my refrigerator.
Sure, that's right.
I hear you. Okay, I'm going to try it your way this year and see what happens. Fun, wonderful. So that's just a simple step, very simple step. Another technique that Samantha and I use, and there are different names for this. We call them manifesting boards or vision boards, and this is really fun to do because it takes you back to fourth grade collages. But they really are a great technique. You get a piece of poster board from the dollar store. And the color is really important here. And I bet you and I have some differing opinions on that. What color board do you use?
I use white.
Oh, isn't that funny?
What do you use?
Green.
Oh. Like for health, growth, and prosperity?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, pick your color, folks. Pick your color. And
to be honest, I never thought about the color. I just always like the white foam board because they're nice and stiff and I don't have to worry about it bending.
Oh,
I see. And they only make that in white as far as I know.
And I've used that as a backing and then I've glued my green poster board to it.
Very nice.
And then literally you go through magazines and you cut out pictures of what you want to manifest in your life. And I write notes on mine, and I use a magic marker, and you can put, you know, glitter and stars and whatever on it. But it's important. This is one of those things where it's really important to have thought out very carefully what you're using this board for so that the symbols that you're using on this board are clear and and concise and accurate. You want to add to that?
Yes, well, I think you want to cut out pictures that are clear, and I think what I do, and I do vision, I do a lot of different things. Sometimes I do vision boards, and when I do, I will always write over or under the photo my affirmation in the present tense.
Always use the present tense. That's
mm-hmm.
real important. In fact, folks, I have to tell you, I've just had a birthday, and I was writing out my goals for my year.
Can I say that what happened yesterday?
You can in just a minute. And so I'm writing out my goals, and I realized I was writing in the future tense. And I stopped myself, and I said, Deb, what are you doing? And I tore the page out of my journal and threw it away and started again and wrote them in the present tense. I mean, even so it's really important because if you're using the future, I will do such and such, or this will happen, then what happens is things are always coming. They never get here.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's really important.
Well, I think it's Doreen Virtue who says that, or it's either her or Wayne Dyer, who says that the universe is like the drive-through machine at a fast food restaurant. And whatever
mm-hmm.
you spit into it, it just spits back to you. So if you say, I will have, you know, a healthy, vibrant, respectful relationship, they're like, yep, sure, one day you will have that. Thank you, next.
That's right, as opposed to I have it now.
Yes.
As I have it now. Even though you know that, and this is a great question in the chat room, is, you know, yes, this is coming in the future, but the universe doesn't know time. And so if you speak in the present tense, then it appears. Absolutely. So, yes, you may say what you'd like to say.
Okay, so yesterday Deb's sister threw her a surprise party, and her friend Joel and I got to be the ones to really help make that happen. And Deb was surprised. It was very exciting.
I was.
It was great.
My two best friends, who have never told me a lie ever, sat and just lied to me for a long time yesterday. It was such fun.
Oh, my gosh. And I was so nervous. Joel had to take her to my house so everyone could go to Deb's house to get the surprise ready. So they're at my house, and I had to coach my three kids to lie. If Miss Deb asks you where we're going tonight, you have to tell her this. Oh, my gosh, I was so nervous. And then you knew I was allegedly going somewhere, so you kept saying, well, Samantha, we've got to get out of your hair. And I'm like, well, come look at my fairy house that my girls put over here. Come look at my garden. I was, like, pulling stuff out of my head. I was just trying to delay you.
Yeah, I know. It was so funny.
But anyway, we did surprise her, and it was a wonderful party.
It was, and I'm very grateful. It was absolutely lovely, and I had a great birthday. So thank you to you two and all my friends and family and all of the literally hundreds of people on Facebook who wished me a happy birthday, and to you all saying this in the chat room. So bless you all. Okay, so manifesting, being clear in what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about
some other techniques besides vision boards.
Yeah, I do. So I think everybody's got the idea of the vision board. We have a great question in the chat room about crystal grids, and that's an excellent manifesting tool. So let's talk about how we use those.
Yes, it is. We talked a little bit about this last week, but if you do want to manifest, say, I think the specific question is love and personal development, then you would want to use all heart chakra stones, in my opinion, such as any pink or green stone, and shugalite, any purple stone would work really well too. And you put them either in a heart shape. You could put the crystals all in a heart shape grid, or you can put them in a circle shape around a center pyramid stone. And over that, you could either put a photo of a happy relationship or of a happy person or of you at a really happy stage of your life, and then right underneath that, your affirmation, whatever it is that you're trying to manifest into your life. Do you want to say how you might do that?
Well, no, that's exactly what I would do if that's your intent, is to work with heart chakra stones. I would always recommend that you work with the chakra stones that relate to whatever it is that you want to do. If you want a grid to manifest self-confidence, for example,
mm-hmm.
you would use solar plexus stones, perhaps, and some
right.
root chakra stones. If you want to manifest intuitive ability, you would use third eye and crown chakra stones. If you want to manifest the ability to speak your truth or confidence, for example, if you have a presentation to make, you would use throat chakra stones.
Can I add too, if you are doing a love crystal grid to manifest positive love into your life, I would recommend getting a soul twin crystal. And that is just a clear quartz crystal. It's two single terminated crystals that are growing together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great question in the chat room about using spiral shapes. I'm a big spiral grid thinker because you are manifesting a flow of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I use circles, but most of the time my grids are in a spiral shape. So good question for that.
It's
really important, though, if you're going to manifest however you're doing it, with grids or boards or goal books, which we'll be talking about, that you're very careful about specificity with that question. For example, if you, for example, want to manifest love, and you've got your heart set on Johnny or Susie, manifesting Johnny and Susie to love you isn't okay.
Right.
And here's why. The universe may have better plans. And when you are attempting to manifest a specific person, you are in essence taking away their free will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay. So it's real important to be, we talk about being specific about what you want. When it involves another person, that's not okay, unless you're trying to send out prayers for someone who's sick or something. But with love, you've really got to be careful about not imposing on someone else's free will.
Right. Now, one of my favorite manifesting tools of all is a goal book. And I like it because it's just so tactile. It's different than the vision board.
Mm-hmm.
And with a goal book is almost identical to a vision board, except you're assigning each page its own goal. So, for example, let's say you're trying to I always recommend manifesting no more than 3 to 5 goals in one-year period. So you'd put one goal on one page, and what you would do is you would write, same thing, tape your picture of the goal to that page, write the affirmation underneath that picture in the present tense, and then sometimes on the back you can write a list. So say, for example, that that you're trying to manifest a relationship into your life. So you cut out a picture of a happy couple. And I always have recommended, whenever I teach this class, I recommend, there's so many photos of couples from the back, like they're walking on the beach and holding hands, you can just see their back. I don't know why I think that's better, so that you're not manifesting their faces and really allowing the universe to bring to you who's meant to you, not the brown-haired, you know, green-eyed guy in the photo or the red-headed girl. Does that make sense? And then underneath that, you write your affirmation, which can say anything in the positive about bringing in a healthy, respectful, vibrant, and passionate relationship into your life. And on the back, you can list the qualities and characteristics of that person. So, for example, you know, my new love is colon. And then write all the attributes that you want that person to have. And just be careful, because you want to put the basics, like employed.
Stable.
Stable.
Not addicted.
Healthy, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
so write everything down. Go over it carefully. But that's what you do on each goal page. And then you have this lovely book, and you keep it by your bedside so that every morning and every night you can really hold that book in your hand. It's your book. And Mark asked a great question in the chat room is, you know, should we meditate on these? The goal book, for me anyway, really helps you to meditate on it, because as you're sitting with the goal book on your lap and you're looking at the photo, this is when you really take the time to imagine this goal occurring in your life. I think so few of us spend our time imagining. We did as kids. You know, think about the movie, one of my favorite movies, A Christmas Story, where the little boy wanted a Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
That kid manifested that gun, and he was going to manifest it come hell or high water. He went to his mom, he went to his dad, he went to Santa, he went to his teacher with his essay that he assumed he was going to get an A++++ on. and he manifested that gun from the most unlikeliest of sources, his father. Anyway, so it's just all that whole movie. If you'll have 30,000 opportunities to watch it in December, if you haven't seen it. That whole movie is about that little boy daydreaming about getting that present for Christmas, and I really believe that's how he helped manifest it. He was so focused on it. He was so imagining himself playing with that toy, and he got it. Now, there's a caveat to that, because everyone kept saying, you're going to shoot your eye out, you're going to shoot your eye out. And you remember the first thing he did was the kickback on the gun broke his glasses, and he thought he shot his eye out. So make sure you're very positive with your manifesting, because we can manifest negative stuff just as easily as we can manifest positive stuff.
You betcha. And that's part of why the way we word the affirmations is so important. And Journey has mentioned here that he or she meditates with on a goal with a corresponding crystal. So using multiple techniques together is a great plan.
Yes,
You know, absolutely. Not just one, but many of them. And guided imagery, where you allow yourself not just in the meditation, but to really do a guided imagery where you see yourself. In the place where you want to be with the picture with what it is you're trying to manifest. And it's really important not to see yourself from the outside.
Right.
So it's not like you're looking at a photograph. Here, for example, so I can't tell you for how many years standing inside that stone circle at Stonehenge has been something I was going to do. It was happening, and I would put myself to sleep at night sometimes, just standing in my mind inside that circle,
that's right,
and touching that earth and being with those stones, and you know, that certainly came to pass last year. So I
want to talk about the negative side of manifesting, which is that
Wait, before you do that, we're past the halfway mark. Let's do a break and then go into the other side.
Okay.
We are the Psychic Teachers. I'm Deb Bowen.
I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are honored and delighted to have you joining us on this discussion about manifesting abundance. You can contact us in lots of different ways here through Blog Talk. We always appreciate folks becoming our followers or our friends on Blog Talk. You can download archived editions of this show from both Blog Talk and from iTunes. Those are free. You can connect with us on our website, which is www.psychicteachers.com. And you can become a fan on our Facebook page. We love having folks join us on Facebook. And from our website, you can also get to Samantha's website and blog and to my website, and eventually one of these days a blog again. So we're always happy to connect with you. We appreciate it. You can email us at psychicteachers@gmail.com.
That's right. And I want to thank everyone for just really connecting with us in those ways, because it's just so great and affirming and wonderful to hear from all of you. Some of you just send us messages that just say, like, you know, I love your show, and it's just really, really nice. And I do have emails printed out. They're back at my office. I've got to read them on air, Deb, because they're just so lovely about some great experiences people have had. But also I wanted to say that I thank you for your support with my little online store. I have received so many purchases this weekend for my chakra bag and my heart chakra bag. So I have sold out of those. I will be happily knitting this week. Brand new ones. So thank you for that. That's really great.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. Okay, so talk about the downside of doing this.
Well, I mean, it's really not a downside, but you are, I'll see what you have to say about this too, Deb, but there will be a goal that you will try to manifest that will not occur.
Okay.
This can happen for one of several reasons. One may be that it's just not the right time. Two, it might not be the right goal for you. And three, it could be that what you're trying to manifest, conflicts with someone else's free will, like Deb was saying before. Another reason, it could be the universe testing your faith. How much faith do you really have in the universe? So please know that if you're trying to manifest something really, really, well, that's a fifth reason. If you're trying to manifest it too hard, it's like little Lenny Big Lenny from Of Mice and Men, you know, killing that cat by petting it too hard. I mean, if you're trying to manifest something so much, you might just squeeze the life out of it. But there have been many things in my life that I've tried to manifest that I have not manifested. Luckily, I would say about 90% of the things that I do try to bring into my life, thankfully, do come into my life. The ones that have not come into my life usually are because it's not the right time. You know, for example, I've talked before about my writing aspirations. Now, I've been published many times. I have, I edited a book, and, you know, I was a reporter for our newspaper. But my fiction books, the two that I've written, I cannot get them published. And Deb knows I've gotten so daggone close. I've gotten the great big literary agent, and I've gotten the great publishing houses to look at my work. I came so close this last time until a woman was coming out with a book that literally had the same premise as mine, and the two main characters even had the same first names.
Right, I remember this.
It was just crazy. And whenever I go into meditation about that, I always hear, if you became a fiction writer, you would not have time for this work.
Oh, wow.
And so I do know that that's being put on hold. Colette Baron-Reed talks about that in her book, Remembering the Future. Her
mm-hmm.
dream, her whole life, was to be a recording artist. And same thing, she was meant to be a medium. She was not meant to, work on that. Sylvia Brown, she tried for years to be a writer, and obviously now she is, but not in the way she first intended. James Von Prague tried forever to produce shows and work in TV. He hit a blocked door every single time until he became a medium. Now he's the producer and creator of Ghost Whisperer. Now Colette Baron-Reed has 3 vocal CDs out. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes the universe needs you to do the work that your soul promised to do before you can manifest the things that your consciousness wants for you. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely. And so I always think it is important when you are setting goals and setting intentions that you include as a part of that that I want this if it is for my higher good and it fits in with the plan of the universe.
Thank you, because my last page, I forgot to mention that, my last page of my goal book is always this or something better.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of great questions pass by us in the chat room. One is, could we ever manifest for someone else? And I would just like to answer that, because I think the answer is textbook, probably going to be no, but I know when my husband was, recovering from his stay in the hospital, I manifested his healing. I don't want to say I manifested it, but I know that I did a goal book just for his healing. I did a crystal grid just for his healing. And I would always word it that, Michael heals for his highest, best good now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that you can send positive energy to people. I do believe, Shakespeare said we are all actors on this stage. I mean, he said it better than that. I'm not good at quoting people, but I'm sure you all know the quote. Sometimes I believe that every life we are living is sort of, like a creation, and our friends and family members are just playing their parts based on the energy we're putting out there. So if we peg that person as a bad guy, they're going to be bad. Or if we peg that person as a sick person, they're going to be sick. And if we peg that person as our friend, they're going to respond to that energy we're sending out and be our friend.
I agree with that. I think that if you are attempting to manifest for someone else, it's always got to be with a sense of also letting go of the outcome.
Yes.
I think that's really important. And another great question here is, do we consider prayer and affirmation different? Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Prayer is a request for me. Prayer is my asking my guides and angels and higher power for help and guidance. The affirmation believes that I also have a piece of the responsibility of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that better than I'm saying?
No, I think you said that great. We're running out of time, and I just wanted to say one other thing. I have noticed that so many people are manifesting things in their life, good and bad, mainly bad, simply to validate their beliefs. So, for example, what? What did you say?
Keep talking.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, say for example that you have this victim mentality, and you walk around saying, life never works out for me. Life is going to manifest so that it doesn't work out for you. And I always want to ask these people, what are you proving? What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to validate for yourself? And yet I meet people time and time and time again who say that. My family hates me. Life is so hard. I hate my jobs. I've never had a job I like. My bosses are horrible. My kids are rude and rambunctious. I always get sick in the winter time. Whatever it is. And we manifest that to prove ourselves right. And really, what are you proving?
Yeah.
Don't you see that around your own life with people you know?
Oh, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I look at folks who just seem to have one craziness or one catastrophe after another in their lives, and I think, good golly, what kind of a path have you gotten yourself on here that this is the continual process of your life?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get off of this crazy merry-go-round that you've gotten yourself off? Or maybe they don't even realize they're on a crazy merry-go-round.
Well, I don't think they do. I mean, I know for many years I was that person. I've talked many, many shows ad nauseum, I'm sure many of you are thinking, about my relationship with my mother. And really what I was seeking when I was maybe subconsciously creating all those fights and dramas that we shared was validation. She's not nice. And sometimes I wonder now if all those years of fighting with her were just me trying to validate. See everybody, see world, see I am right, she's not nice. Once I gave that up, once I really just didn't care anymore, once I just focused on loving myself and sending my mother love and forgiveness, all that drama just stopped. And I really think that I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying, don't be a victim and don't And, you know, you're creating the bad stuff in your life, because I'm not pointing fingers, because gosh knows I've done it before in my own life. I'm just saying, be aware of it.
Because
even those of us who are best intended can do it.
Yes, and great comments about what you just said in the chat room about becoming aware of our own negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
There are some key words that should send off bells to us about that. When we do what I call awfulize, ain't it awful, and extreme words, everything, nothing, nobody, everyone, when we find ourselves using those words, it's usually a clue that perhaps we're not really looking at ourselves and taking responsibilities. And never is another one, always. I mean, golly, be careful of those kinds of extreme words, and always look for exceptions. I do this all the time with clients. Somebody will say, "Oh, nobody ever likes me, and my life is always awful." And I always say, "Gosh, can you remember one moment when it was okay?"
Mm-hmm.
You look for the exceptions.
That's right.
In life. Stay away from those negative people.
Like someone said before, it could be your own self. I know I've gotten addicted to complaining with friends. I know there was, a friend of mine, we were both going through a tough time in our marriages, and we would just complain and complain and complain. And finally, after a couple of months, my husband and I were really good and back on track. And I remember saying to my husband, like, "I don't know what to do, because she's going to want to keep complaining, and I don't want to anymore." And I felt guilty that we were, like, over that bad hump in our marriage. And he was like, "Well, she's just going to have to understand." And, of course, she did. But I know that sometimes in our own life, we can get addicted to complaining about our boss or our teacher or our spouse or our parent or whatever it is. And sometimes you have to agree not to do that.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Go ahead. I want to say one more thing, but go ahead.
Oh, you go, and then I'll...
No, because it's different.
I was just going to say the comment about keeping yourself away from the awfulizers, what a great word.
It is.
To really physically remove yourself. And then if you can't, Samantha uses her pink bubble. I use fiberglass. Sometimes I sing an old Pink Floyd song in my head. It's just another brick in the wall. And I literally envision building... I mean, I've got one of those trowels and some cement, and I'm building a brick wall around myself that negativity can't get to me. So you're exactly right. You gotta move yourself and your own energy away from that. And if you're finding it within yourself, you gotta let it go.
That's right. Because really, what are you trying to prove? Are you
mm-hmm.
trying to prove that all your bosses are mean? Okay, guess what? That's what you'll get.
Right. Exactly.
You know? So it really is all about awareness. I read a Caldecott winning book to my kids tonight before they went to bed, and it's called It Could Be Worse. So if any of you have young kids, look for that book at your library. It's about this man, and he lives with his mother, his wife, and their six children in a one-room hut. They're fighting and quarreling all the time. So he goes to his rabbi, and he says, "Can you please help us?" And the rabbi says, "Do you have chickens and roosters?" And the guy says, "Yes." And he says, "Move them into the hut with you." And the guy pauses, but he knows what the rabbi says. And he comes back a week later and he says, "Rabbi, it's worse now. There's clucking and ticking, and now we're fighting worse than ever." And he says, do you have a goat?" And he says, "Yes, rabbi." Move the goat in with you too." So he does, and of course it's worse, and he goes back to the rabbi, and same thing. And then the rabbi says to him, "Do you have a cow?" And the man whispers, "Yes, rabbi." So he moves the cow in, and a week later he goes to the rabbi, and he says, "I can't stand it, the clucking, the henning, the hawing, the mooing, the scratching, the bleeding. I can't do it." And he says, "Move them all out. Come back to me in a week." And he runs back to the rabbi within just a couple of days, and he says, "My home is wonderful. It's just the nine of us in that lovely open space, and we're all getting along beautifully." That's how the book ends. And I think it's such a great lesson, and that sometimes you can't change your situation and your surroundings, but you can always change the way you look at it.
That's exactly right. Absolutely true. And that's a real important thing to remember, is that your attitude is really everything. There's a quote that's floating around in the back of my head about that, and I hope I manifest it before the hour is up.
Well, there's
I know what it is. Thinking makes it so.
Mm.
And some Greek philosopher said that a long time ago. Thinking makes it so.
Well, I think, therefore I am.
Yeah.
So exactly how we think. It's everywhere. I feel like the lessons for all of this are all around us. They're in every spiritual text you can read.
Mm-hmm.
They're in nature. I mean, I just think that the ability to manifest everything is all around us. I did a reading last week for a woman. She lost her cousin to suicide, and she's come to me for a reading a couple of times. And her cousin always shows me that she's dealing with the effects of her suicide on the other side. It's a struggle, but she's fine. And when she came to me last week, she was so excited, and she said, "Tell her I made it to the next level, and I'm learning to manifest. So far, I've manifested grapes." And I said,
"Grapes?
Grapes? I don't know what the heck that meant, but my guides were saying she's practicing. She's learning how to throw her energy, how to manifest and use her energy."
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, wow, that is so wild. I don't know. I still have to think about that some more. But I do believe that when we're on the other side, we learn that we really are just energy and we can manifest anything. When we have these clunky bodies, following us around, it might be a little bit harder to manifest something physical like grapes, although gosh knows there's stories of it. Read the New York Times writer wrote that story on Lilydale.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called A Town Called Lilydale. And she talks about having classes where she saw mediums physically manifest things, jewelry
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of things. So, I mean, I don't want to get off topic, but that can happen. I wanted to mention the concept before. We only have 3 minutes left, but the concept of spiritual tithing. Because I really do think that a great way to manifest abundance into your life is to give. If you want to receive, you've got to give. John Holland calls it priming the pump. And I did blog about this, so I know I'm being repetitive. But if you can just think about, on average, what you make every week, and just take 10% of that, and at the end of your week, think, who or what spiritually fulfilled me? And give that person or that organization 10% of your income. Or split it up. If 5 people helped you out, split it up. And if you can't afford to give away 10% of your income, start with $10. That's all.
Start with a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, if sometimes you're having I know sometimes I'll stop in the morning and I'll get a cup of coffee at the McDonald's by my kid's school, and there's this one lady there who's always so happy.
Yeah, her name is Phyllis.
What?
Her name is Phyllis.
Oh, you know who I'm talking about? The one on Eastwood?
I do. Yeah, I do.
That is so funny. Okay.
She's
so
lovely.
She would be a great person to give $10 to, just to say, thank you so much for making me smile today.
Uh-huh.
Just little tiny things like that. I'm not talking about anything big or drastic. It starts with small steps.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
I think the key with spiritual tithing is to repay it to whomever or whatever enriched you that week.
Yes, and also to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily paying it back to that person, although certainly you should do that, but then to pay that forward too,
Mm-hmm.
For example, that same lovely situation, you could give her $10 and give an extra $2 and say, take this off the next person's bill by the car behind me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, which is so fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
You get
mm-hmm.
such a high. And if you have kids, everybody do it. Because they will remember that, and they will pass that on in their own life in beautiful ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gosh, I hope folks have gotten some good information tonight, some things that they're willing to try. What have you got to lose, folks? You might as well try some of these things.
That's right. Manifest and bring some good things and good people into your life. I do want to mention that I will be alone yet again the next Tuesday.
I'm sorry, dear.
Deb will be leaving me. Next Sunday, I'm going to be discussing how to get negative energies, influences, and people out of your life.
Oh, good.
And the following Sunday, I'm going to have a life coach on named Raven, and she's going to talk about what a life coach is, how to get started in that field, and how to utilize the skills of a life coach to enhance your own life.
Right, exactly. So tune in with Samantha next week, and the next I will be away for two extensive weekends of readings, and I'll be doing readings for the whole time that Samantha is working. So, golly, I do hope that you all tune in and join her next week, and we hope you have a blessed week this week.
You all take care.
All right, folks. Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.